You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. We're meeting two candidates today running for the Board of Aldermen in Wrightsville Beach. The town of Wrightsville Beach in New Hanover County boasts a population of slightly more than 2,500. In this year's race, five candidates are vying for two open seats on the four-member Board of Aldermen. Only one of the incumbents, with an expiring term, is running for re-election. Joining us now is Pat Bradford, who began her entrepreneurial career as a real estate broker. She runs an award-winning local newspaper, Lumina News, and a monthly magazine, Wrightsville Beach. For the last 17 years, Pat Bradford has served as editor and journalist for her publications, first the magazine, then the newspaper. She became publisher of both in 2003, and earlier this year, she ended her ownership and publisher role with Lumina News. She comes from a large family, and she now has one son and two grandchildren. You can ask your own question of Pat Bradford during this live Thursday discussion by sending an email to coastline@whqr.org. Pat Bradford, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
I want to talk first about your faith. It's very much a part of your life. You lead with it in a very public way. I remember you held a Christmas party for your magazine several years ago and presented a cake that read, "Happy Birthday, Jesus." And I think that's notable because it was a party for the magazine. It wasn't in your home. It wasn't, you know, part of your church. And in your bio on your campaign website, you talk about your late parents and siblings as being in heaven. So talk to us about this very open identification as a Christian, what that means to you, and why you lead with your faith outside the faith community.
Thank you for the question. I'm guessing you were at that last Christmas party. It was memorable. And we used to put on a Christmas party every year for the entire town. And when the recession came, we stopped. Unfortunately, I'm in love with Jesus. It's that simple. And so he's a part of everything that I do. And so, you know, he's with me everywhere. And I can't separate myself from my love of the Lord.
A couple of years ago, there was this last municipal election. There was very little competition for seats on the Board of Aldermen, and that's not unusual in places like Wrightsville Beach. Sometimes it's hard to generate enthusiasm and interest among citizens or people who are running for the boards. People want to move to places like Wrightsville Beach to enjoy life, have a second home, be at the beach. Why so much competition this year? What's at stake this year that perhaps wasn't 2 years ago?
Rachel, I've thought about that. Because last election there was no competition, and now there's five of us. And it may just be timing. I really don't have a clear picture. For me, it was definitely timing. I could not run for public office and be the editor-publisher of a newspaper. The news is to hold elected officials accountable, and you can't hold yourself accountable. That was an ethical situation that was a no-brainer. So in February, I announced it's the first opportunity for me to run. And as for the others, I really don't know their motivation. There are some critical issues facing the town, but it's not so much that it would drive people with a passion. So I believe it's just kind of timing.
And you list a number of what you consider to be critical issues on your campaign website. So talk about what really emerges first for you. I mean, this year you divested yourself of your relationship with the Lumina News, but it wasn't just that. What else was driving you?
Well, after holding the town accountable for all these years, I understand the town's issues, and we've got some things the town really needs to deal with. One of them is the sewer line that crosses underneath the Intracoastal Waterway. The other is the aging, often clay water pipes under the ground that our drinking water comes out of. And then there's a real pressure again by development to take our commercial zoning and turn it into residential. Wrightsville's unique and that residential sells more for commercial. It has more value. And obviously, there's more profit for a developer to do that. So,
And you have alleged on that issue that the Board of Aldermen at Wrightsville Beach actually kind of gave in to pressure from developers on some residential rezoning issues.
Well, in the last 20 years, we've seen the Pizza Hut site go from commercial to residential. And imagine if we had a really fine dining there and you could boat up to it. And that property's never been developed. Before that, the Elizabeth Bland building went from commercial to residential. One house built, and it's since been sold. The Scotchman site is sitting empty. There's real pressure to rezone that. The property where the MOI sits looks like it's going to be a parking lot. And, you know, of course, the commercial property down by the pier is a real concern. If you go commercial, which it's zoned for, you have one entity governing several small entities in doing commerce in the town. To do residential, you add as many, in this instance, 130 plus residents to the town. That's a challenge to the infrastructure. That's a challenge to lots of things that I don't know that's really been thought through.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. With us now answering your questions is Pat Bradford. She's running for a seat on the Board of Aldermen in Wrightsville Beach. You can ask your own question during this live Thursday edition via email at coastline@whqr.org. We're not able to take phone calls today because our big fall pledge drive is underway. But again, that email address is coastline@whqr.org. Do you think, Pat Bradford, that the beach towns in New Hanover County leverage their power when it comes to working together with other local boards? Is there a way that Wrightsville Beach could take more advantage by cooperative relationships with other beach towns?
Yes. However, in the last 4 years, it's definitely improved. There's much more collaboration. There's more meetings. I do think it's under-leveraged. I think we could, and I really think that we could pull in Figure Eight more, even though it's not a town. It's a private island, but still, that we have the same issues. And
what are some of the ways that you've seen those cooperative relationships benefit Wrightsville Beach relatively recently, and how would you like to see that specifically expand?
Well, the benefit is sharing ideas and sharing how you do things and sharing what you'd like to see happen. A collective voice is much more effective than a singular voice.
The Greater Wilmington Business Journal published a piece last September about the challenges for developers in beach towns and how beach towns often have ordinances that are more restrictive than other municipalities. Would you consider amending any restrictions, any current restrictions that are in place to make it easier for developers in Wrightsville Beach?
You know, an elected official is there to represent the people. And what I might desire and what the majority of the people might desire could be in conflict. So I'm not going to make an opinion, a broad statement now saying how I would act in the future without getting the input from the public. The Cama Land Use Plan is in a strategic redesign right now, and they did a survey, and those answers are there for a majority of the people that responded, and it was a good response. And over half of them were residents, 30% of them were second homeowners. So you feel like those people were stakeholders, and they like things the way they are.
What are some of the challenges governing a small municipality that does have a large population of second homeowners?
I think the challenge in governing a small island that has a large population of day trippers and visitors is much more challenging, because if you've got 2,500 year-round people, and then on any given day you could have 40, 50,000 extra people there, somebody has to pay for all of those services. So that's a challenge. You can't tax the residents to pay for the bathrooms for the public to use. You can't tax the residents to haul the garbage off the beach strand that the public leaves on the beach strand. So it's finding the revenue to handle the influx of seasonal visitors that's probably more challenging than second homeowners.
And what are some of the ways, what are some of the ideas that you would bring to the board in terms of how to pay for these things?
That's always the most tough question for anyone. And I've been thinking about that quite a bit lately. So many people are angry about the price of parking. But this summer, my grandson was here, and I paid for parking. I used public restrooms. I bought T-shirts. I bought surf stuff. I bought ice cream. I bought, you know, I acted like a tourist in my hometown. And it was really good for me because I didn't mind paying for that parking space. I really didn't. I thought it was good value. The town only has so many possible places they could put a parking meter. So that's a finite source of income. And without commercial sales revenue, they don't have a lot of options. So it's a challenge. The TDA pays for a lot of the services now that the town spends for tourism, and that's very helpful. But to find that right balance in the money is it's a challenge year by year for everybody on the board.
When you talk about that big influx, tens of thousands of people during the tourist season, we also see a great influx of traffic. Traffic is parking. It's all difficult. It's a headache for homeowners sometimes who get frustrated. Is there anything that the Wrightsville Beach Board of Aldermen could do or should be doing to alleviate some of those traffic headaches?
I don't know how you could alleviate them. I did suggest at a CAMA meeting about a month and a half ago that they consider the app that can tell you all spaces full. I really think that would be quite helpful. But if you've got mom and the kids and the picnic in the back of the car and you're headed for the beach, you want to go to the beach. And you've got a pretty serious goal going there. To know that the beach is full might be interesting. I don't know how it would work, if it would be successful or not. As a resident, traffic is just something you deal with. And you consider yourself blessed that you get to be there all the time. So for me, it's not a terrible inconvenience. I plan my life around the traffic flow.
There has been historically a tension between the idea of a robust wave transit schedule going to Wrightsville Beach. Some say that could help alleviate some of the traffic problem. Others say Wrightsville Beach doesn't really want bus service going back and forth from it. Where do you stand on that?
Well, again, I go back to what the people want. And I have seen over and over and over a very large pushback on the bus.
What is that about?
I'm not sure. Because obviously, people first came to the island they came by boat, but then they came by, on the trolley. So it's an iconic idea. It may be that there are certain areas of the beach, Stone Street, Salisbury Street, that really are pretty maxed out on any given summer day, and that those would be the two destination spots that people would want to go. It may just simply be where it maxed out. I'm not sure.
Is that worth further exploration, or do you think that's a closed issue?
I think they've beaten that horse pretty hard. And I've seen people go away very frustrated with it. So I don't have an answer for that one.
Talk to us for a moment about sea level rise and how that affects the planning for folks in Wrightsville Beach. Is that something that stakeholders there need to be concerned about? Are there new elements that should be brought into the conversation, like the idea of retreat or not building on certain parts of the beach? Or where do you stand on that issue?
Oh, my goodness. We're pretty much built out, so there aren't any serious number of undeveloped lots you have to buy and tear down. And everything's a little bit more stringent than it was the year before. That's one of the complaints of builders. I don't know where I stand on sea level rise. You know, the insurance issue is a very serious issue. Flood insurance issues are huge. Going into the hurricane in Texas, we kind of dodged a bullet because things could have gone really, really badly. But all the damage in Texas and then Florida put a stay on what was happening. I think that's an under-publicized issue. People don't want to think about it. But the entire economy of New Hanover County is driven by tourism. It's driven by the real estate industry and the prices of homes. And if all of a sudden realtors can't close contracts because they can't get insurance, it's going to put a big brake on our economy. The brakes are come screeching to a halt.
Okay, just a few seconds left. Fast forward 4 years. Let's say you've won a seat on the board. You're looking back on your first term. What's different about Wrightsville Beach because of you?
Oh, my gosh. I hope it's got more plans in place for things like traffic and the water system and how we're going to deal with emergencies. I'm a long-range planner, and I'd like to see some plans in place for how we're going to deal with what it's going to be like in 2025, 2050.
And that's this edition of Coastline. Pat Bradford, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thanks also to Sonia Cheney and Southport Board of Aldermen candidate Laura Sharkey. Coastline's technical director is Ken Campbell. Associate producer is Rachel Keith. Production assistant is Caitlin Hanrahan. If you missed part of this episode, look for it at WHQR.org. Get the podcast or find it on the WHQR app. Tune in for the rebroadcast of this episode Sunday afternoon at 2. Join us for Coastline Live Wednesdays and Thursdays at noon, here on HQR News 91.3 and 98.9 FM. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.